Kumilana Blanca Murder, we're up to Pei Aleph today. We'll start from the mission of Pei Mabez in the very bottom of the page. The mission says, Bakul Ma'arvin Umishtatvin. You can use anything for your Erev, that's Erev the Chatzeris, any kind of food, any type of food, or for your Shittat Mavi, for the street, everybody joins together. Chutz min Hamayim Umin Amelech, except water or salt. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kikir, who Erev. Rabbi Yeshua says, if it comes from an Erev, you can only use a loaf of bread. So it sounds like they're arguing what you can use for an Erev. Afilu me'afa sa, even if you bake from a sa worth of flour, who prusa, but it's broken, ain't ma'arvin bo, you do not use it. But kikar, a small loaf, tiny, ki'isa, like a 5 cent coin, who showing, but it's complete, then ma'arvin bo, you can use it, but then you have to get enough of those to make the size of a dried fig. Says the Gemara, didn't we already learn this previously? Tanina Chatazim, we learned this already previously as well, where it says, Bakol Ma'arvin Umishtatvin. There clearly says, you can make an Ediv or a Shittuf with anything, Chut Min Hamayim V'Hamelech, except water and salt. So therefore, and it sounds like you can use wine, you can use oil, fruits, anything you want. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabba, says Rabba, you know why the Mishnah says it here again, La Fuke Mir Rabbi Yeshua. To argue with Rabbi Yeshua, before you didn't have that, to argue with Rabbi Yeshua. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua says, Kikar in Midachrin Eloi. Rabbi Yeshua says you can only use a loaf of bread and nothing else. Kamash Malon, but Kol. So our Mishnah comes to argue and says you can use anything you want. We would have thought that that Mishnah is only discussing Erev Tchumin. And there there's no argument. Everyone agrees when it comes to Erev Tchumin, you can use whatever you want. There's no question of envy or jealousy, as we'll soon see. But over here, we're talking about Erev Chatzeres, where a number of people participate in one piece. Maybe there'll be some jealousy there. So therefore, maybe we thought by Erev Chatzeres, everyone agrees it has to be, you know, one kind of thing. And that's why I repeat it here again by Chatzeres, we'll soon see. Says, you want to ask bye, ask the question. Let me ask the question. It says, Bakul Ma'arvin, you can use anything you want for an Erev. Erev Chatzeres u bechol mishtatvish, you can use anything for Erev Chatzeres, anything you want for Shittuv Mavi. And v'le omru, it says in the Braisa, but we do not say la'arav pasta, use bread, ela bechatzav avad, only when it comes to a chatz. In other words, when it comes to Mavi, when it comes to, comes to Shittuv of a Mavi, you can use whatever you want, wine, oil, but when it comes to a chatz, you can only use bread. Man shomet the amale pas in midachin lo. Who's the one that says bread yes and not other kinds of food? Rabbi Yeshua, uktani, and yet it says bakol. Use the word. You start off saying you can use whatever you want. So it shows that what when it says bakol, it doesn't mean any kind of food. It means any kind of bread. So maybe in our Mishnah where it says by a chatzer bakol, how do you know it means any type of food? Maybe. She took up mother, you can use any type of food. Maybe by chutzah you can only use any type of bread. Bakol means any type of bread. So what is the argument of Lezer and Abishua and our Mishnah? Abishua says only bread. And what does Rabbi Lezer say? Elo, Rabbi Chod, Lafuki, Rabbi Shua, Dama, Shleimim, Pilo, it's the second half of Abishua. Abishua says you can only use whole loaves of bread and not partial loaves of bread. Kamashalon, Bakol, he comes to tell you no, you can use any type of bread. Even a prusa, even a broken piece. In other words, comes to chatzer, you only can use bread. Everyone agrees. When it comes to shittat mavi, you can use any type of food. Because a chatzer, you're buying a place of residence that has to be a staple food, and bread is the most staple food. So therefore, by a chatzer, it's most important that it should be bread. But, and what kind of bread? Any kind of bread. Where they're arguing is, how large should that bread be? Should it be whole or not? My time, what's going on here? How come one says it has to be whole, one says it doesn't? You know why it should be whole? Otherwise, you'll have all kinds of jealousy. You'll have people who are jealous, who are going to say that, how come I had to give a whole piece of bread, this guy gave a broken piece of bread, leftovers. I mean, broken piece of bread usually means it's leftovers. Why did he give broken pieces, which are, like when you buy matzahs, whole matzahs, it costs a lot more than broken matzahs. So it causes all kind of rivalry. Why did I have to give more to contribute in this neighborhood than this guy had? The moment you have a number of people contributing, then everyone should be similar. Even though you can have different sizes of bread, but we have the size of a Gregorius. Remember we said if you take a small little piece, a small whole piece of bread, You have to make a few then, contribute a few, in order to reach that size. So there's no rivalry then. One bread, the size of a Gregor, so three, to make it up that size is the same thing. And that's the argument. And the other ones, and Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah holds no such thing as evil, and therefore he said it can even be broken. What about the case if there's no jealousy? Because everyone contributed broken pieces of bread. Would that be all right? Says the Gemara, if you say you're allowed to do that, then sometimes you'll have sometimes not one have only broken pieces. You'll have some people giving whole ones, and then start that all those fights. The whole idea of an Eidav is to bring people together to avoid any argument. On the contrary, people can join together for a meal and to bring out the camaraderie, that achdus. And what you're doing is this is the cause of divisiveness. Interesting. This Eidav business, the Gemara was so concerned about when it comes to Eidav. If you look around in Jewish history, one of the most divisive issues in any community, in fact, the most divisive issue in any community was whether we can build an Erev in that community or not, or what type of Erev. There was always arguments. So the Erev actually brought out Erev without, forget about the bread or not the bread, it brought Erev, just like the very idea of having an Erev in a neighborhood or not. What happens if it lost a piece of the bread, but how much bread did it lose? You said it has to be whole. What about the piece? You gave a piece to challah to the kohen. So that's not considered a loss. Why is that considered a loss? Because in order to be able to eat from that bread, you have to give something to the kohen. And therefore, or it's still considered a whole challah. you can either take off challah while it's still dough, or you can take off challah once you fully baked it. Or let's say if a little bit truma falls into a chulin, if a little bit truma falls into chulin, and you made a loaf of bread and you took off the amount that you have to take off in the case of dimua, by dimua we learned is 1 in 100. Truma is bottle 1 in 100. If it took off 1/100 in order to say that's probably the truma, then ma'arvin loy bo. Then you can go ahead and use that for your Eidav. It's still considered a whole piece of bread, because that's the only way you can eat a loaf of bread. So therefore, it's all right. Says the Gemara. But Tanya and the Brice is somewhere just opposite. We learned somewhere else. Kedei dimua ma'arvin lebo. If you took off the piece of challah to enable you to eat it because it's truma mixed in, that means 1 out of 100, that's all right. But if you took off a piece that's for challah, you should use it because it's like, oh, there's a piece missing, it's not a whole. So it's a question. Similar like kasha. The challah that you give away from a bakery, which is a small part, is not considered a loss, which is 1 out of 48. This is the challah of a balabas, the challah of a private person, which the challahs are much smaller. So over there, you give a 1/24, and that's a much larger piece. If a 1/24 of your challah, or of your bread, or of your dough is missing, then that is considered an incomplete challah. And the more explained. Now we learned, shir challah, what is the shir challah? Echad me'esim v'abo, is a 1/24 of the challah. Isa la'atzmai. If you made the dough just for yourself, for Isa l'mishta b'no, you made it for a wedding, is echad me'esim babo, is a 1/24. Nachtum, a baker, shuwa isa limka b'shuk, a baker makes it to sell in the marketplace, v'chene isha osa limka b'shuk, or even a private person, but they did it in order to sell it, so you make larger chalos, then is echad ma'bo, v'shmayna, then it's 1 out of 48. It's 1 out of 48. So therefore they said, could bakeries make much larger challahs, and even if you're selling it, anybody who sells challahs generally makes much larger ones. So then the proportion is smaller, how much, because you have to give challah enough that's choshev to give to a kohen. And therefore a 1/48 of a baker's challah is tantamount to a 1/24 of a private home challah. That's the thing. Well, further, okay, what is the question? Interesting question. Amar Rav Chisda, Tafra Bekisim. If you had two broken pieces of challah, but you put them together with a little, you know, piece, like a toothpick, Ma'arvin lebo is considered a complete challah. In fact, based on this, they talk about lechem mishnah as well. If one of the challahs are broken half, if you put it together with a toothpick and it looks like one whole piece, it's good enough. What about time you learned elsewhere? Ein ma'arvin lebo, you can't. Like kasha, it's not a problem. How did you do it? Tifra here, you can recognize that it was put together because it's so really so broken, so apart, and it's not really smooth against, flush against each other. Then you shouldn't. It looks like broken pieces. How do you do it? Tifra, once you put the toothpick in, it looks like taka a whole challah, then you can. Arvin, you can use pas oides, bread from oides is rice, or pas doichin and millet. We actually have an argument if oides is rice and doichin is millet, or oides is millet and doichin is rice. And that's why it's a big argument or question mark what bracha you make on rice. Because the Gemara tells us what you make on oides. The Gemara tells us what you make on doichin. But we're not sure what's what. That's why some people make a shahakal on rice because it's a question of bracha. Some people make other brachas, a shahakal and a mezainis, to see or what do you call which bracha it should be. Most of our dumb even. Amarukva said Marukva, Ladim Fashim in Mashmul. I understood from what Shmuel just said. That the pas oides ma'arvin, that you can use, let's say, rice, bread made out of rice, and pas doichin e ma'arvin, and pas doichin you can't. Because Abzeda said, in the name of Shmuel, you can use both bread, rice and doichin. And Marukva says, my understanding of Shmuel was, yes, rice, no to millet. You can even use bread from lentils, any bread. Someone ain't is not so, but he, the Havi Bishnei, that happened, that was in the years of Mashmul. It happened, a situation in the years of Mashmul, something similar story. The Shadya the Kalbe, he told him to throw it away to his dog, and he didn't eat it, because it's not edible, it's not food. Ocha didn't eat it, so we see clearly, what he told me, you can use any bread. He took bread from lentils and he threw it away. He threw it away. Says Gemara, that bread that he threw away, the Sha'an Minim Haba, was made from a whole bunch of different kinds of wheat, and therefore he didn't eat it. Not it wasn't made just purely out of lentils. What do you mean? The Chassid, it says, we have a pasuk, Ata Yukach, the Novi says, and the Cheskel HaNovi was told to take the following. Kachl, he said to me, Kachl, was it? Chitin wheat, so oiden barley, or pool, and beans, vadoshim, and lentils, vadechin, and millet, the kusma spelt, and mix them all together and make a bread. He was telling the people that they would be punished, and so on. So Shmuel was telling us what kind of bread they made. But bread purely out of lentils is all right. says, Ahi, that the Cheskel's bread was actually, you know why he was so bad? Tzluya b'tzoya sa'odam. It was sitting on coal that came from the excrement of a person. The Chesiv, it says the Pasik, he begolle tzas odam, was made in the excrement of a person, to gonna lay name. It was roasted before their eyes. My, what does it mean when it says, in the pasuk, "Ugas se'odin techlana," that which was roasted by barley, you should eat. Arachiza lishiurim. Se'odin means lishiurim, that you should eat it in small quantities. Rapapa mar arivosa kariva se'odin, that you should roll it, that you should, you know, knead it and everything else, and, you know, prepare it like barley. V'loy karichat chetim, but not, don't make the form of it like wheat, make the form like barley. And therefore we're saying that this is like, what do you call it? So this is what the Cheskel is telling the people, the kind of bread that they should be eating. Nothing to do with edible, not edible, and therefore you could make the bread out of barley. Any kind, but kol ma'arvin, you can make the bread of any material. Says the Mishnah further, okay, we're talking now about that you want to contribute to everybody else. We said that I can be a nice guy and donate on behalf of, contribute to everybody and use my own thing. But if I use your food, I have to notify you that I'm using your food to make sure that you're happy. Otherwise, you might be stingy. You're not going to want the people to share with your food. So it wouldn't be a valid aid. Says the Mishnah, noisen, there are different forms of acquisition. According to Rabbi Yechanan, that according to the Torah, according to the Shlokas, according to the Torah, the way to acquire a portable item is by Mashiach, pulling it into your domain. According to Rabbi Yechanan, we'll have this in Gemara Avodah Zarah. According to Rabbi Yechanan, or Bob Metzia, in Hazav, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the Mahatera, you're koine with money. According to Rabbi Yechanan, it's only Midrabbanan that we say that you are not koine with money. According to Rabbi Yechanan, Midrabbanan, you're not koine with money. Midrabbanan, you have to make Meshicha, pull it into your rishus. And what's the logic in that? Because we are worried if the vendor receives his money and it's still sitting in his warehouse, and he doesn't care anymore. Let's say there's a fire or a flood. He's not going to go out there and rescue your food. What does he care? He already got his money. It's your problem. He will tell you, Nisifu chi techa ba'aliya. Your food, your wheat got burnt up. So therefore, we made a takana that as long as you, the vendor, have the produce, the merchandise, it's not the sale. It's not sold until the buyer takes it, which means that the vendor doesn't really own the money. Based on that, says the Mishnah, Nisen Adam Mo Lechenveni, a person can give money over to a storekeeper or Nachum to a baker and say that you're going to sell wine, or you're going to, we all live in the same place, you're going to sell, we're going to use the aid of wine or bread, whatever it is. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you money, Kadesh Yiskele Eidiv. And I'm telling you, I want you to, when you make the Eidiv and you have it in my mind, here's money I'm paying for my loaf of bread. Don't give it to me for free. I don't want to be a schnorrer. I want to contribute. I'm giving you money. And that's all right. However, Chachamim Lezochul Moisev, it doesn't work. Why not? Because money is not a kinyan until the buyer makes Meshicha. Which means, and since the bread or the wine is sitting with the vendor, the other person in the neighborhood, the person who gave the money did not make a kinyan. And even if that person, vendor, says, you know what, I'm giving it to everybody, I have in mind everybody, including this person, it doesn't work, because everyone else got it for free, but when I gave you money, it's as if I'm stipulating, I don't want any favors, I don't want it to be for free, I want to pay for it. But paying for it means the money that I gave you says, I don't want to get something for free, but you don't own the money yet, and therefore I, who gave you the money, don't have a share in that wine or share in that bread. And since and therefore, it doesn't work. And Machlek is a shenim if the guy clearly said, if the vendor clearly said, I'm giving it for free. I don't want his money, even though I have it sitting with me. I'm going to give him for free, whether that works or not. If he clearly stipulated that. But anyway, the mission continues. Umoidim, that in the following case, if a balabas says to one of the other people living in that chatzah, take this money and go ahead and acquire me part of the Erev. But in the first case, I just said, give me a part of the bread. Here he says, I'm giving you money, and whatever it is, deal me in whatever you're using for the Erev. And I clearly stipulate I want this for the Erev. And then you went ahead and you bought something for me. Then you're acting as my proxy, not as a vendor. Umoyd and Bishakal and any other person, Shazakhla, Ma'isa, the money will be Zaych. Because since the person I'm asking is not a vendor, I'm just asking, here, take this money, and get me something so I can be, or whatever, get me part of whatever that is. So it's clearly, I didn't want to buy it from you as a vendor, I wanted you to act as my proxy. So it's as if I said to him, go ahead and make an Eidah for me. And the same thing would apply, if I told the vendor those words, here's money, and make the Eidah for me, it would have worked, but I didn't say that. Because you cannot make an Eidah for a person unless he's aware. And in this case, I clearly told you, I want you to make an Eidah for me. Says the Gemara, Mishnah further, Amar B'Levedon, but we just said, B'Levedon is all said, B'Eidah with Chumin. When is it said, B'Eidah with Chumin? When you need my consent. Because Eidah with Chumin comes at a cost. If you make for me a Chum, and I lose out on the other side walking that same distance. But Eidah v'chatzeres, but when it comes to Eidah v'chatzeres, ma'arvin l'daitoi usha lo l'daitoi. When it comes to Eidah v'chatzeres, it's an Eidah l'daitoi and shalo l'daitoi. Meaning that since it's a good thing for me, that I can join the Eidah and so on and so forth, so even I'm not aware of it, you can do it on my behalf. If you should zochin l'anish l'befanav, you can acquire things for another person, even if they're not around, the ain't chovin l'anish l'befanav. If I found $100 in the street and I say, oh, I want this to belong to Zalman, it belongs to Zalman straight away, even though Zalman has no idea that there is money there, because it's a good thing to have it. What I cannot do without his consent is when it harms him. By Eidah v'chumin, I'm harming him. When it comes to Eidah v'chatzeres, I'm not. So I don't need his consent. I can do whatever I want. Says the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Lezer, first of all, Why would Rabbi Elazar say that if I gave money to the storekeeper and I said, here's money that, you know, in case one day people are, you know, are buying into bread, whatever it is, here's my share of it. Why does he say that it works? L'chayda, money is not a kinyas mashiach, like we just said. Halei mashiach, it didn't make a mashiach, it didn't make the kinyas mashiach. Amar Rabbi Nachman Machna said, Amar Rabbi Rabu, Asur Rabbi Elazar, Kedal L'prokim B'shan. Rabbi Elazar decided that we can make a special takana, just like the four seasons of a year. The Gemara, we'll have in the Gemara Chulin, which talks about four times a year, everyone used to buy meat. And during those four times a year, it was like Erev Pesach and Erev Shavuos, Erev Shoshana, and Shemini Atzeres. Interesting, not Erev Sukkot. But these are four occasions a year where everybody buys meat. And we made special laws then that the Chachamim decided, you know what, we'll suspend all the Takanas, we're going to rely on the Torah that money is Kaina. What's the story? That now we learned in the Mishnah, Bedala Prokim, about three seasons in a year, Mashchitin as a Tevach, Bal Korchai. About four times a year that we force the butcher to shecht. If he took my money for an animal, even though the animal would be worth $1,000, and I only gave him $1, because I want a little piece to be Yaitzah for Yamtif. We forced and nobody else came and joined. The vendor says, no, take your money back. You can't. The vendor now has to shech the carbon because I am a part owner. And even though, generally, why am I a part owner? Money is not koina. You have to do meshicha. But the Chacham made a special takana that these four occasions, money is koina. I feel a shesh of eladin, that even the cow is worth $1,000. And all I gave was $1. We forced the vendor to shech that particular shirt. Therefore, he makes, if the animal dies, he makes lekech. The lekech has no recourse because he's part owner and tough luck. His animal died. Mes lekech. Now the question is, why would the buyer lose out? Hole mashach. He only gave money, and money is not kain. He didn't make a mashiach. So there are two ways of learning Pshat in the Mishnah. Omer Avun Avuna said, B'Shemash, we're talking about a case where he actually pulled the animal, therefore he made a Meshicha. Yehoch, he says, what how can I be? Yehim Masefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah. B'Shai Mashah, the rest of the year, ain't a Kain, the rest of the year is not. So that if he gives $1, let's say on a Friday for Shabbos, and nobody else gives him, the guy says, no, take your money back, the purchaser can't scream or complain, he gets it back. If he made a Meshicha, then he's the owner. How can you stop him? Therefore, he may make the Meshicha. This time he's getting lost. The vendor loses out. Amayim Masha, according to you, the buyer made a Meshicha. Omer Abshul Rav Yitzchak, La'ilam Mishalem Masha, we're talking about there's no Meshicha here. Hak Maizkin, Meshazicha Lai De'achar. We're talking about a case, Shazicha Lai De'achar, Bedala Prokim Elu. We're talking about a case in these four times that the vendor took the money and he says, I want that this animal. He gave the animal to somebody, a third party, and said, I want you to require it on behalf of that purchaser who gave me $1, because in other words, the vendor wants to make sure the purchaser doesn't change his mind. So he got another third party there to be mezakeh the animal, so it'll be too late. So in this case, everybody agrees the money works because the vendor sort of gave it away through a third party.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yeah. Part possession, the equivalent of one dinner of that animal, and we're wondering, giving a dinner is only money. How in the world did this buyer acquire the animal that we say that the vendor can't get out of it? And if the animal dies, it's the vendor's loss. It's the purchaser's loss as well. Why is the purchaser's loss? How did he become an owner? He just gave money. So we're saying one answer we're giving right now is that maybe that the vendor got another party. And got another party to acquire it on behalf of this customer. He was scared that the customer might change his mind, and he was waiting to get more customers. At least this is the first one. He wanted to make sure the guy doesn't walk away. So therefore, by giving it to somebody else and said to him, "Be zoich acquire on behalf of that purchaser," it becomes the purchaser. Okay, so therefore, because the vendor did it on behalf of the purchaser, maybe even without the purchaser's knowledge, it has to be benefit to the purchaser. Yeah, bedala prokim. So, and therefore, we explain the difference between the four seasons, those four occasions, and the rest of the year. But they're all talking about the same circumstance. Yet four times a year, we'll say it belongs to the purchaser, and the rest of it doesn't. So, bedala prokim. At least four occasions, this chusulai, it's for his benefit because you have to eat meat on those four occasions, and therefore. you know, and he gave money, he really wants it, then Zachar Lashla Befanov. But B'Shaim, the rest of the year, the Choyvulai, the rest of the year, every time you're buying something, it also comes at a cost. You just spend some money, and it's optional. And Echol Befanov, the vendor cannot ask a third party to be acquired on behalf of the purchaser. The purchaser didn't agree. These four occasions, Rashi says, that was the tradition of the world that everyone bought meat. In fact, one of those occasions is Erev Shavuos, and they want to say from here, the Torah's Chaim there, Gemara Chulin wants to say from here, as a proof that you don't eat milchiks on Shavuos. If you ate a milchik meal on Shavuos, then Shavuos is actually less than any other Yom Tov, less than Shabbos or anything else. So why is it punkt Erev Shavuos? We say this is one of the four occasions that everybody eats meat. In other words, everyone has to buy plenty of meat. So he wants to use the proof that we don't have a milchik meal on Shavuos. Anyway, saying about it further, however, what we want to bring a proof here is from Rabbi Eila. Rabbi Eila said, Rabbi Eichen, I'll explain to you. These dala prakam, these four occasions, he'emidu chachamim divreim al divrei. Chachamim suspended their takana, the institution, which normally says you have to do mashicha, pull it into your own possession before it becomes yours. Here we'll rely on the Torah, saying, what money will do? Rabbi Eichen says, money is kainah. Why do we say mashicha kainah? What's the only reason why we say that the rabbis came along and said, we want Mashiach, we want you to pull it into your own possession, even though you paid for it? Gzeida, we are concerned, Shema Yoimudala, he'll tell him, Nisifu Chitecha Bali, it's your wheat that's burning in my property. Why should I jump in there and get wet or dirty or, you know, sully my clothes or there's a fire? Why should I even risk my life to save your wheat? It's your wheat, too late, you paid me for it, it's your problem. No, so Chomei HaTakana, that if you, even though you got paid for it, if the wheat got burned, it's your loss because he has taken it in possession. So the money doesn't really belong to you either until he gets his wheat. Says the Gemara further, Rashi used the expression he should be Moisa Nefesh to save the guy's wheat. If he didn't get, if it's not the money that he has, it's not really his, he'll go, you know, the extra mile just to make sure that he saves the guy. And the guy can, what do you call it? Get his wheat that he bought. Says the Gemara further, the moide that all other people, if I just tell them, here's money, when you guys do a native, have me in mind, or here's my money, I'm making him a proxy. He's not the vendor proxy, therefore it works. Man shakal adam, who all the other people? I ask another person, like a balabas, another one, a neighbor in this chatzah courtyard. Only when it comes to a baker, a person does this for his business. And then we follow the rules of business. A balabais, kaina, balabais is kaina. Vamashmoshmos a number of other dinim. Only if he gave money do we say money is not kaina, and therefore he's not part of the ediv. Aval Kli, if he gave him a vessel, and he said, let's barter, kaina, you are kaina. He gave him a vessel and he said, let's do chalipin instead of, it is koina. It is koina. So it's like making a swap. I'm giving you this handkerchief and you're giving me, or this keli, and you're giving me whatever, the bread or the wine or whatever it is that is supposed to be working. And why is that? Because I didn't give you any money. If I didn't give you any money, just a chalipin, which you have to give back to me, you're gonna jump in if there's a flood and try to save and rescue my merchandise. So therefore, we're not worried in that case. This only talks about if he says, I want you to be zeiche for me. I want you to sell it to me. Okay, so then we follow rules of selling. Aval omale, if he told him, arevli, I want you to make an eda for me, then Shlich Shavi, even though the guy is a vendor of a store, he says, look, I'm giving you the money, I want you to make the aid for me as well, then as if I'm appointing you to be my proxy. That's a different story. Then even though he's a merchant, a vendor, a retailer, it'll still work because I appointed you to be my Shlich. I'm going to be the man is talking about. Now the question is, Rabbi Yehuda says here that when it comes to Chatzah, we don't even need his consent. Not like the first part of the Mishnah, it sounds like it's saying that you need a person's consent. And you cannot do it without a consent. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Whatever Rabbi Yehuda comes along by Eidivin has something to say, halacha k'moisa, the rules like him. From Baghdad said, is that so? Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, I feel the mavi. What about that story there about a street? Shenitlu koreisav elechiv. Friday night, everything was in order, but Shabbos morning, the Erev collapsed. The post collapsed, or the beam going across collapsed. And Rabbi Yehuda says he can still carry because the beginning of Shabbos is all right. Is that Allah like him? Amalei, he said to him, no, the Eidivin and Marti, I'm talking about Eidivin. And I didn't talk to you about mechitzas. Remember, the word edivin actually means the kind of bread you use, the wine that you bring everybody together. All of the laws we learned in the beginning, which is about the kind of walls you have, that's called mechitzas, not edivin. When I said Allah Rabbi Yehuda, I meant whenever it has to deal with edivin. I wasn't talking about when it comes to the mechitzas themselves. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham are arguing. Is that so? Whatever Yehuda comes along and says, you know, Amosai, when are we talking about? Or Bameh? Because what does it say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, when do we say that you need the consent? Only when it comes to Erevet Chumen. In other words, you said a whole story about going to a storekeeper and you said to him, I want you to buy for me the breads and so on and so forth, I can be part of the Eidav, and therefore the storekeeper cannot do it on this person, because it's as if I stipulated, I don't want for free, I want you to buy the bread for me. And even though you're giving away for free, so the chayda, it's a good thing for me, it doesn't matter, because I said I want you to buy the bread. So when Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, that only applies to Erevet Chumen, because it comes at a cost. But when it comes to Echatzedis, it doesn't matter what I gave money. Still, you can have me in mind. So is Rabbi Yehuda arguing with the Chachamim? So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses the expression, Amosai, when is it said? Or Vameh, what are we talking about? In Mishnah saying, in our Mishnah, Ein Lefer Chachamim. He's only coming to explain to the Chachamim, but like Pig, we're not really arguing. So how could you come along and say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, as if to say there's an argument? There is no argument. There's no argument to speak of, because he used the word bameh. So before we go further, the Gemara says, is that so? Are you telling me whenever Rabbi Yehuda says the word bameh, Amos, there's no argument? So let me ask you a question. Well, nantanan, we learned previously, a few days ago, nitoisfu aleihem. What happens if new dwellers moved in on Shabbos? Moishiv, you can add umezake. There's two ways of tzarich l'idea. We said, if I give from my own, on behalf of everyone there, I can give for the new people as well, these new neighbors, even though they're not aware of it. But if they, let's say, like everybody else, puts the thing in the warehouse, I cannot go and take from their food without asking them. So we see clearly from here. So we see that they're arguing. So we see clearly from here. It sounds like that you have to ask them. If you're taking from their food, you have to ask them. If it's a schus, then why you have to ask them? If they have a barrel of food there, why can't I take a little bit of their food and just have them in mind? Doesn't that prove that there's an opinion that argues with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to ask because it's good for them. And here says, clearly, you do have to ask. It says, sort of l'haydiya. L'haydiya, you have to ask them. Says the Gemara, there's a different case altogether. Sometimes by a chatzah it's good for them, sometimes it's questionable if it's good. When is it good and when is it questionable? So Gemara explains. Hosam b'chatzah shebein shnei mavoyim. They were talking about a mavoy. There's a chatzah that's right in straddles two streets. But usually they use one street. The people from the other street want to include them as well. Then you have to ask them, because if they have no intention of walking down this other street, he doesn't benefit from it. All he did is took a piece of bread away from them. So therefore you have to ask them. We're talking about when there's only one street. And if there's only one street, then obviously it benefits them to be part of the area so they can carry into the street. So therefore we don't have to ask them. It's two different cases. Says, what are you telling me that there's no argument in Rabbi Yehuda? We learned just a few couple of days ago, Rabbi Shizbi said, maybe learn out chalukin olav chaveilav al Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda's friends are arguing with him. So that the rabbis argue with Rabbi Yehuda. So we see from here that what do we say that everybody agrees? We just learned yesterday that he said that the Mishnah that they're arguing with Rabbi Yehuda because of this thing over here. You have to ask. Ella says, Mother, you forget my answer that you know it depends. Sometimes it benefits when it doesn't. You're right. There are those who say that Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim, at least according to Rav Shizbi, And Rabbi Shimon Levi says that no, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Bameh, nobody argues, and therefore in the previous Mishnah you can use the answer that we said, that it depends if it's one, you know, only one street, then it benefits the guy, and if it's two streets, it doesn't benefit the guy. And you can, and so what? Gavra Karamish, you're asking a question with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argues. Ma'asav pligi, ma'asav loy pligi. Rabbi Shizbi holds that they're arguing, but Rabbi Yehuda says that whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Bameh, he's not arguing, and there's no argument over here. There's no argument over here. Either previous mission is talking about a case where that person didn't benefit from it because he has another street to walk down. Goofy, let's analyze it. Whenever he says Amosai v'meh b'mishna seinu elafaj v'chamim, whenever he uses the word b'mishna b'meh, he's coming to explain. If you don't mind, quickly finish to the end of the Pedic. But he gives a rule. B'meh and Amosai means he's coming to explain. And Abiyechen says, maybe we'll stop here and we'll continue to our Mr. Shem. Okay.